Hi, and welcome to the Planet Podcast, episode 18 for February 9th, 2010. I'm your host, Patrick Roanhouse, and this is the episode of the Snowpocalypse. Today, I have featured commentator Tim Keneally. How you doing, Tim?
Pretty good. How are you?
Not bad. I am just coming off of a two-week cold that had us have to cancel a panel discussion that we were going to have on the iPad. I kind of gotten a little too old for that right now, since everyone's already gotten to that well before us.
Yeah, that is cold, cold fish now.
Yes, yes. All right, so today we are talking about this week in tech news. And first story of the day we got is unannounced Core i7 Apple MacBook Pro surfaces on Benchmark's website. Interesting story out of Apple Insider, which actually comes from the website Geekbench, which is a website to report your how badass your Mac is. A MacBook Pro was found to have surfaced on their website through its testing service that's registered as MacBook Pro 6,1. This is a brand new version number of the Mac Pro and features a Core i7 chipset that supposedly scores a 5,260 score on the Geekbench rating score system, which is pretty much it's going to knock your socks off. It's a Maxwell tape quality commercial right there.
So they don't know who this came from? Sort of an
Oh, you're siloning out. What were you saying?
Oh, did you get me?
No, you siloned out.
I was saying, was this an anonymous test, or did they know, like, where it came from, or what's the deal with it?
The one thing about the service is it is kind of anonymous. It just posts whatever the ratings are, so they weren't able to trace where it was coming from, but it's not surprising. It's happened before in other pre-release Macs before as well, so you'll probably see this happen again, but the fact is, it means that there's a new MacBook on the horizon, and it's going to be stylish.
I look forward to it. I need a new one.
Yeah.
I have to do something about this old keyboard one on mine here that is just falling apart.
Yeah, my MacBook Pro, I just found out, is end of life for the ATI video card on it.
Fail.
So in Windows 7, there are no drivers that support OpenGL.
That's ridiculous. What are you going to do?
I have to use DirectX rendering for all the old games, and I am not happy. I'm not happy at all.
You know, someone would say that's what you get for trying to play games on a Mac, but not me. I won't say that.
I hate you, Tim. All right, what the hell is your story? Something about Engadget?
Well, comments? About since you're talking about hate, Engadget has sort of turned into a hotbed of hate on the commenter side, and last week they had to turn off commentary altogether on their articles, which is, I thought, you know, a central part of their existence is having – they post these quick little 2.5-paragraph stories, and then you get 500 people commenting on it, which, you know, you're going to get a lot of crap with that many comments. But then suddenly they were like, you know, whoop, they just shut it off and nobody could comment anymore. And then a couple days later, you know, Josh Topolsky comes on and says – here's how you have to conduct yourself. Here's what you got to do. And it just was very interesting to me as this site, you know, we've watched them grow from like pretty much nothing into the biggest tech blog out there. And now they're like sort of laying the ban hammer down on people for inappropriate behavior. And I don't think it's the best idea for them, but I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Engadget, whenever I think about it, I love its founders, you know, Peter Rojas and Jason Calacanis, and the people who took over after that, like Ryan Block, who are now both at Ryan Peter at GDGT, and I think it's kind of funny because Chapolsky, I love Engadget. I don't want to say this.
You don't want to say anything about hipsters or anything.
Yeah, it's kind of gotten to this point where it's you kind of like you want to make fun of the hipster, like, you know, stereotype that all the editors, all the major editors are.
Oh yeah.
And but it's funny. It's like they've gotten to the point where they're now one of the top gadget blogs, and now it's completely blowing out who were the you know, like the whole thing with the comment section is that people would be assholes. It's like websites like 4chan or something awful. They became popular because of their followership.
This is true. I don't know. Their reporting quality is kind of eh. And the reason why I went there all the time is because they got everything first, and they would just say it in as quick and digested a form as possible. And apparently that's sort of draws like the lowest common denominator in terms of audience. You get people in there who are like, you know, I'm retarded and I know about computers. But anyway, we know something about retardation because these people don't read books.
Whoa. Right, you know what?
We're going to scrub that.
Yeah, that's going to cause a world of hate on this podcast.
Okay, that's cool. You can scrub.
No, I'll keep it in. I'll keep it in because it's funny.
Well, no, because I seem to have a habit of getting more...
That's Tim at betanews.com.
I didn't mean people are retarded. What I actually meant to say was, hey, how you doing? Hi.
I think Sarah Palin's going to come after you now.
Oh, well, see, if I support her, then I'll have a whole herd of people on my side.
No, if this was a Republican conservative talk show, then she'd be like, oh, it's okay then there. But let's not get into politics today. All right, so the next story we have is Apple kills the $9.99 ebook. Amazon melts down in response to major publishers. This is a report coming out of pretty much any major tech blog, but I posted the one that was for Boy Genius about how after the Macmillan fiasco, one of the other top five publishers that Apple mentioned at its iPod release date for its new service called iBooks is saying, hey, what's up, Amazon? We want to have expensive books too. We want to have $14 books. Yeah, what's up? How you doing?
That was such, like, I don't even know whose side to be on there. I'm just going on my own side and saying I don't want to pay $15 for an ebook. So I'm just going to say whoever offers me the cheapest possible ebook, I'm going to probably be on your side there. So. Apple.
I think the biggest thing with the ebooks is that, you know, to charge $15 for the non-print version is like, no. You're already making an arm and a leg from the fact that you no longer have to print this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you just tier it out where you have like a $7 book, a $10 book, and a $15 book, and that way you have like whatever in the top sellers. You know, you can range over time. I just think, like, trying to charge, like, they're going to try to then start charging $40 for an ebook, and I'm like,
ugh.
F that. F that. Unless your ebook shits rainbows and has pretty unicorns flying out of it when I open it up and it's an episode of Reading Rainbow, I'm not paying that jack shit price.
And we know your love for Reading Rainbow.
Hells yeah.
But it's like the whole MP3 thing all over again. You know, we're getting these. They're as stripped down as possible ebooks. They have pretty much no, you know, they're black and white for the most part, which is not like a big deal to me or anything, but it's just like MP3s. We're going to see these turn into, when you say tiered pricing, sort of like we're seeing with iTunes albums. You know, we're going to get this $15 ebook or whatever $40 ebook has video of Stephen King talking about, you know, filming Carrie, and this $8 ebook over here doesn't even have a table of contents. So
yeah, it's like, I think one of the biggest things is that for what Apple has done for creating with the iPad, of trying to like do this new media of like multimedia, yeah, it's going to do magazines and it's going to do newspapers pretty well.
Yeah.
But for books, just let it be cheap. And yeah, for those who need it, let it do the text-to-speech. Because seriously, that is the only thing that Apple will have with their iPad, is that their text-to-speech will kick everyone else in the ass.
Thank you. And I'm glad you support that the accessibility features are like paramount in this, I think.
I mean, yeah. To go into like ebooks in general, in order for when I was in school, I had to, I'm going to be open about this to everyone, I had to pirate my textbooks because the publishers would not give me a digital version. I then had to then use the text-to-speech software and Apple's computer software to highlight the different sections and then use the speech command under the Unix to actually make an MP3. I piped it out as an MP3 AAC file. I then used the chapter toolmakers to actually make my own audiobooks. So I would listen to it while I was reading the books for double comprehension. Because, you know, people with decoding skills don't want to pay $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000 for some of these reading devices that are, like, proprietary.
Exactly. I mean,
what they did at the community college I went to was you had to be – this is up to 2002 that they still had on tape. And you had to have a special tape cassette player which had a hacked-in little knob so you could change this variable speed setting. Like, we're talking ghetto, fabulous hacked-in knob. And it wasn't until 2005 that they had CDs, but you had to have a special CD player which had a proprietary PIN code so you could then play the encrypted CDs.
And then you had to circuit bend the CD player.
Oh, no, no. Even better. The CDs were a version off from the textbooks the school actually had. So it's like, turn to page 487. I'm listening to Bartleby the Scrivener while everyone else is listening to Anne of Green Gables.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was kind of asinine, and
I'm
sorry. No, it's not your fault. It's okay, Tim. I'm not blaming you.
You went to the school that I owned.
Right. Did you have too much to drink during the snowpocalypse?
I did, actually. That's a whole other story, but I was trying to make healthful alcoholic beverages, which involved me drinking Odwalla with Belvedere vodka in it. But if you've had...
Hipster.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, my
God. Odwalla is like drinking a milkshake. So I had like four of these things, and I just like, I have... I was going to die. And then I did die.
All right. So we have your next story.
Oh, yeah.
About, you know, touching things and getting your grubby little mitts all over it and with multiple hands.
Yeah. The Droid... the Nexus One got its multi-touch capabilities, and then the Droid got its first one over the week, and everyone who was saying that this is like some, you know, Apple and Google were in collusion, so Google was going to agree to not have multi-touch, and you know, now we can officially say that that conspiracy has been retired because now Android in the U.S. is getting multi-touch on version 2.1. I mean, it hasn't been absolutely across the board officially stated, but as we have seen it right now, the Nexus One has multi-touch in the browser, in Maps, and in the photo gallery, and the Droid supposedly will also be getting it maybe this week. I don't know. I'm hoping. I have my fingers crossed because that would be awesome.
Well, I think that Air Jobs will not be happy with the situation with Google.
Oh, yeah?
Because I think the Jobs will be like, what are you doing? No!
I mean, Google has its own problems. Yeah. Like, the early termination fees with the Nexus One. And
they did knock off $200 now, so it's only...
They did, and that was good, but that was no doubt because of that whole, you know, thing.
Yeah, that's basically, hey, Apple, I mean, Google, you're going to take a hit for that one if you want to have people actually subsidize, because, you know, you're doing the double subsidize thing, and that's just stupid.
Yeah.
All right, so next story we have here is NBC Universal CEO Jeff Zucker, that crazy little kid he is, lies to Congress under oath about Boxy at the Comcast NBC Universal merger hearings. Jeff Zucker, how much farther can you bury your effing brand? First, it was the whole Coco debacle with him saying, I'll keep you off TV for 3.5 years. And now it's this crap. Seriously, there is the internet. You should know about it. People will find out you're a bastard.
I have nothing to actually add to that because I absolutely agree with it. I think that this recent, like, the last few months, just... everything NBC Universal has done is just a huge poop stain.
I'm like, seriously, like, if I was Comcast, I would be cupping my balls and being like, oh, God.
Oh. Well, I mean, that's why the Comcast is trying to be like, oh, yeah, we count Xfinity.
Oh, God, I can't. All right, that's a side note, the fact that they're changing their branding to be Xfinity. Like, everything will be like, Xfinity Internet. We have so much internet, it's X to the Xfinity.
You were saying something about the extreme marketing, like,
yes,
we're going to get the guys from Jackass to come on and be like, Xfinity, and then light themselves on fire.
Like, guess what we have here at new Xfinity Broadcasting? We have laser beams on sharks. They're so extreme. They will transmit that television signal right into your brain.
Did you turn on reverb, or did that just happen in my brain?
That was just my voice, man.
Oh, because it sounded like it echoed after you said that.
Barry White, how you doing? So, Jeff Zucker, real American hero.
But then on the other side of the coin, I'm just going to jump ahead to mine here.
Okay.
About Al Franken, just, you know.
God, I love that.
The flexing. I mean, he's a great orator anyway, but, like, the stuff he was saying about, you know, he was coming from an educated point of view because he's, you know, from the TV industry and he was a writer and everything. But, I mean, like, just flat out saying, like, I don't trust the promises. Like, I've seen this kind of bullshit before, you know, and then citing that whole FinCEN thing, which I knew nothing about. Mm. I mean, Al Franken, you are the man.
I love the fact that he is just so – he is an educated senator. Like, I mean, like, I know this is hard to say this, but, like, I've never actually seen a senator, like, be able to talk about all the different subjects he's talking about and actually have an understanding of it and not, like – not being all, like – when it comes to him, people being on the stand when it comes to, you know, senatorial hearings, he – does not try to beat around the bush. He's like, you know what? I don't like that. Like, he just... I wish he was my senator. I mean, like, I'm sorry, Bulwer Mikulski. I love you so much. You are an awesome little, like... You know, you're just awesome. Like, in the way that you're so short and just so, you know, firecrackery. But I'm sorry, Senator Franken. Like, come on. We want you some love up in here in Maryland.
I hear Minnesota is nice this time of year.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like 1 degree.
All right, so... going away from talking about the amazing senator that is Franken and him kicking ass and taking names at the Comcast and NBC merger hearing, Microsoft taking Xbox, the original one, out back and telling everyone it's gone to the farm. They are killing Xbox Live support for Xbox, the original one. A letter that was sent out by... Mark Whitman of Xbox Live saying, yeah, sorry guys, but we're going to kill your Xbox community. Bye. 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 Xbox. Remember, buy Xbox 360. Buy Xbox 360.
I actually don't have that much. I don't have a big of a problem with this. I mean, it had its run, and it has been sort of on the decline. I mean, there were a ton of good games because that was Xbox Live was like the first, you know, successful console, you know, online gaming. Mm-hmm. So like original Counter-Strike and Star Wars Battlefront 2, and of course Halo 2, it was Halo 2 that really brought that out. And people are still playing Halo 2, and still like, you know, bringing out the old Xbox so they can have one last hurrah. So that should be cool, actually.
And also bludgeon small children with it.
Oh, yeah. And use that giant controller to give themselves carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny because it's like the console, like, when did that come out? That came out, like, what, 2002?
You know, I can't say definitively, but I know it was around there.
Well, I find it funny, like, you know, there are a lot of people who probably still have the Xbox, and there are a lot of people who have some games on there that they can no longer play. I'm just surprised that Xbox doesn't say, hey, if you want to do your own free network for the system that we no longer support, you know, go ahead. But, you know,
Well, they have there are two server services that I know of that people get on and play, you know, legacy hardware. They go in there and play.
Yeah, like, I think one's called Warp Pipe or something. Like, it's a plug-in firmware for, like, your routers and stuff like that.
Well, that's one I actually hadn't heard of. The ones that I knew of were you have to actually connect your Xbox to your PC and then connect through your PC.
Yeah.
Which actually isn't all that difficult. It just, you know, just run an Ethernet cable. It's not that hard. But the playability and stuff is really, really, like, subpar, apparently.
Like,
I haven't tried.
A really high ping.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so next story we have here is something about a little bit of bada, a little bit of a bing. What do we have here?
So the rumor is that they're going to start shipping, or no, not shipping, but it will be debuted in the next month or so, the first Samsung Bada phone, which to me is extremely interesting because for all that we've heard about Bada, there is actually not a lot of information that the consumer can grab onto.
I really think it's vaporware. I think it's all like a ruse.
Well, I'm glad that you and I got to see that HTC Smart firsthand and talk mm-hmm. about that, their platform there, the based on the Brew on the Java platform. Because mm-hmm. I think that Bada is going to probably be something like that, if it's anything. I haven't decided if it's going
to
be vaporware.
Well, supposedly you're going to be able to use native Linux applications on it, because it is just a Linux distribution, they say. And it's going to follow all the same, you know, nomenclature for how normal Linux distributions work. So you could literally compile from source, and as long as your application is formatted to run on the screen, supposedly it will work. And, I mean, they showed videos of some of the 3D games they have. Like, they have Resident Evil coming out for it, and EA is making a few games as well. And, like, Capcom is all over that junk, too. So I'm like, it's weird, because they've shown videos of, like, but they haven't shown the actual interface.
Yeah, that's the part that gets me, because I don't know if it's, are they doing this because, like, are they going to address the non-smartphone crowd? And now that you're talking about 3D games and stuff, I'm just wondering, is this going to be, like...
That's the thing, though. There is no non-smartphone crowd in the next, you know, 5 years. Like, in the next 2 years, I think you're going to see all the dummy phones gone. But if they're a dummy phone, quote-unquote, it's basically going to be the dumbest of the dumb smartphone. Like, you know, it's going to have no Wi-Fi, no Bluetooth, blah, blah, blah.
But that's what HTC Smart is. It's they're taking a dumb phone platform and putting a smartphone UI on top of it. So it's not going to be able to do all the stuff that a smartphone does, all the complex, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And you're probably not going to have as much versatility there. But to the consumer, it's going to look like a smartphone, but it's going to handle like a piece of crap.
Well,
so,
I don't think necessarily you look at phones like the Voyager from LG and mm-hmm. all these other phones that, like, as soon as the iPhone came out, they try to mock it, like, mimic it by, like, making a touchscreen and stuff like that, but, like, had no app deployment.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Brew is really going to last. I mean, from that kind of thing, I think having a dedicated actual operating system that already has a platform support, whether it be Android or maybe even the Bada, since it is Linux-based.
Yeah.
I mean, even Nokia's phone has a dedicated, hardcore development people because it is such an open platform.
Well, it's also because Symbian is the most widely distributed.
Oh, I'm not talking about Symbian. Sorry, I'm talking about the Communicator 900, that new one.
Oh, okay.
There are a lot of geeks I know who are like, I love that phone so much.
Well, it is a good phone.
Yeah. But I think these kind of dumb mockery of smartphones OSs are not going to really last. I think it really is going to come down to being, you know, iPhone, Android, Mamiyo, the Nokia one,
mm-hmm.
and maybe this Bada. I mean, like, from the look of the people that they have developing stuff for it, it's going to be weird, but I think it might actually be a contender.
Well, I was just saying that I don't think it's going to be a smartphone OS because Samsung is like one of the biggest non-smartphone vendors.
But they say that it's the full Linux operating system. I mean, they've been touting that as the major feature of it, is that any Linux apps you have, you could easily port over. Like, super easy. They're going to have their own widgeting system as well. So, I mean, it might be a lot of sizzle they're trying to sell and not, you know, any steak, but, yeah.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. All right, so next story we got here about things that we'll believe when we see it. Juju goes into production this month. Yes, that's right. The Juju tablet, formerly known as the Crunch Pad, which has made Mike Arrington of TechCrunch wish to commit homicide on people of India, will start shipping and be in production this month. Start shipping in March and start production this month. So all you people who decided to make your pre-orders over PayPal, you might get one soon.
Wow. Tablets.
So the reports are this lovely little beast in a box will be having the 1366 by 768 screen, Wi-Fi 802.11b NG, a 4GB SSD card, a front-facing camera for all those people who've been complaining about the iPad, accelerometer support for Flash, as well as Flash HD once the 10.1 update comes out. It will also have integrated speakers, 3.15mm headphone jack, and a USB port. Yeah.
And also,
it will be retailing for the small price of $4.99.
Woohoo! All I see when I think of the Juju is that one picture that of whatever the CEO of the company holding his mock-up of it, and he has this, like, I wish I had it like right here so I could send it to you, but he has this look of just like absolute focus, and his eyes are like, he's like scowling and his mouth is open, and that's the Juju to me. It's like pure, unadulterated power.
I do have to say those pictures from the initial pictures of Chandraratha Krishna. Dude kind of looks a little bit like a Muppet, particularly one of the Muppets from Dark Crystal. That's all I'm saying. But I think it's going to be interesting to see if this actually does come out because, it might actually have a place.
I think at that point it almost depends on how every other tablet does. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, this isn't, the name is associated with this whole
controversy.
Yeah, the whole TechCrunch scandal. So it does have some, you know, there is some clout there because people are like, oh yeah, that's the TechCrunch thing, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas people might not take a second look at some other ones that might be good, but, you know, they're coming from whatever Korean or Taiwanese manufacturers.
Well, supposedly they're going to have support. Chandra said that he was going to do support for both Android, Google's Chrome OS, and like their own proprietary interface as well. So I don't know. Maybe this might become another, you know, OEM kind of situation. Because like it actually does, like from all the showings of it, like when they've taken pictures of it, it actually is a pretty machine. Like, I mean, yeah, from the design aspects, it could compete for a design aesthetic award compared next to Apple's iPad, I think, easily.
Which is totally saying something.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, this is straight out of, like, I mean, this is out of the ballpark, you know, out of left field kind of situation where, I mean, you have a device that's like, oh, look, it actually is prettier than an Apple product. And it's from India, of all places, you know? It's like, you're like, you don't expect that to come out of there, so.
Or you know, it's coming from a company that I have never heard of.
Yeah. Which... All right, so next story we got here is, tell us about this Legend of Zelda.
Oh, yeah. So, Legend of Zelda, you know, I'm assuming everyone knows it and everyone loves it or sort of likes it. the next version to come out on the Wii has been rumored to support the Motion Plus attachment, which is, you know, the little thing you stick on the end, which makes it more accurate, supposedly. And, so, but the debate originally was, when these rumors came out, was, is it going to be an additional feature or is it going to be a mandatory feature? Like, everyone will have to have it if they get the game. So now it turns out that it is a mandatory feature. So in order to play the next Legend of Zelda, you have to plunk down an extra, however, X amount of money to enhance your standard controller, which, when it came out, it made the Wii's controller the single most expensive controller out of all of the top, you know, the big three, you know. Yeah. You get the Wiimote, which is one, you know, amount
the
of money. Yeah, then the nunchuck, then the Motion Plus attachment. You know, it ends up being, oh, I'm going to pull up my article here real fast, so you might want to mark down this time.
Okay, take your time. I'll just jeer and jibe you as you do it.
Okay.
You're terrible. 46%. You're a terrible commentator there. Terrible.
Loading.
Terrible commentator. You're a failure as a news article writer.
You sound like my dad.
Son, I'm very disappointed in you. I'm very, very disappointed in you.
You were an accident.
Oh, I'm not that evil.
Okay. It's almost there.
Your mother never wanted you. Your mother? What did I just say?
Your mother never mounted you.
Oh,
okay.
Wrong.
Okay, when it debuted in April 2009, it cost, in total, based on prices I pulled off of Amazon, a single Wiimote with the Motion Plus adapter and a nunchuck would be $73. And by comparison, the PlayStation 3 DualShock 3 wireless was only $42, and the Xbox 3 wireless was only $36. So, you know, you're paying a little less than double what you'd pay for a standard handheld controller for this Wii Motion Plus, which hasn't actually proven to be any more entertaining.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, it is... I love this internet meme. It's Shigeru Miyamoto with, the CEO of Nintendo of America.
Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Thank you, Reggie. Reggie and I forget a couple other people in this one car together. It's basically an animated GIF from the movie Zoolander, where they're all riding in the car together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this internet meme where they take other people's heads and put it on top of there as they're like bouncing back and forth. And they're all holding DSs and Wiis while they're driving. And underneath it says, "It prints money." I mean, nice. Literally, like, I have never... This is probably... Nintendo has probably made more money from old hardware in the last, you know, 4 years than they've made ever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to think about, like, the cost of manufacturing for all the devices they have, they're probably making, like, nearly, like, 1,000% return on a lot of these, on most of the, like, the Wiis. I mean, they make money off of every console sold. I mean, so...
Which is so much better than, that's, you know... Sony is still only making 60 cents or something like that.
It's $6.
$6. Yeah, I knew it was something with a six. 666. but hey, yeah, there's...
None of your devil worshipping here, buddy. All right?
Just play it backwards and I said something profound.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, it is interesting to see just how much Nintendo can milk this out because they are... I mean, it is the number one console for everyone because there are so many casual gamers who play it.
Yeah.
And I mean... As soon as I saw the Motion Plus attachment, I'm like, finally, we're going to have a game that actually has real sword fighting. I mean, if you look at the demo from the Wii Sports Resort, they have, like, one of the most popular games, mini games from that is the sword fighting mini game.
That is, I mean, that's cool, but I said this about the first one. You're sitting there playing a role-playing game. Well, I mean, it's more an action game now, but when I'm playing a role-playing game, I'm sort of, like, vegged. And fixed.
Legend of Zelda's always been an action game. It's never been really... I mean, it's got RPG elements.
But yeah.
It's an RPG action game. Like, it's all, you know, real-time battles. It's not like, you know, it takes you out of... Like, the only game that was ever a real RPG of Nintendo was Link's... Like, was a Legend... was Zelda 2. And no one wants to remember that game.
I only remember it because... It was so freaking stupid.
Yeah, exactly. No one wants to remember a side-scrolling Legend of Zelda. It worked the same way for the CDI, and it worked the same way for Legend of Zelda 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, going away from things that make us want to commit murder, I think everyone should take a look at the Google Super Bowl ad. A lovely story about Parisian love. So, yeah, Google did a Super Bowl ad, and it made me a little verklempt. A little bit. I choked up a little bit, you know? A little tear.
I think you need to man up a little bit.
You know what? You said you teared up at this, too, when I mentioned it, so...
No, it is actually very sweet, and it's so tasteful, and it's... Just as far as commercials go, it's such a departure from the everything it was put up against during the Super Bowl, which were all, like... Qualcomm's Flow TV appealing to emasculated men and
tits, ass, and misogynism.
Yeah, beer commercials and Doritos commercials, and yeah. Then you've got Google being just like really nice.
Yeah, so the way that the commercial actually goes is it's just basically the Google front page, no extra features or added things, and someone typing in different search queries, and the search queries go travel abroad, study abroad, find the nearest coffee shop near the Louvre. What does this mean? And it translates, you're cute. And then while this is happening, it's having this very, very, you know, sweet kind of, you know, Parisian jazz style thing playing in the background. And it has these little sound cues, like as it says, what does this translate? It actually says a little phrase very quietly. And then it says, impress a French girl, find churches in Paris. And then it's like, and then it's the last one's like, how to build a crib. And you hear like a little baby cry kind of thing, like, you know, giggling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I literally teared up a little bit. I mean, I was like, oh, that's so cute.
I think, didn't they say after the commercial aired that the searches for those very things that appeared in the commercial like actually shot up? And because people are like, oh, maybe I really can learn how to impress a French girl or.
No, I think it's probably some of the best advertisement I've ever seen, probably in the last, you know, 10 years. It was just so sweet and so innocent and just so simple in its design too. I mean, it showed the product of Google 100%, you know?
And definitely it was the best search engine commercial I've ever seen, like without a doubt. Like, I can't even think of, I know they all have advertised at some point and I couldn't tell you what any of them were. And maybe that it's just because this is fresh and it still, the impression is strong, but I think I will actually remember this. Now, will it make people like someone asked over Twitter, I can't remember who, some analyst was like, oh, now that I've seen that commercial, I think I will use Google to answer my questions. Like, everyone already uses Google anyway. So what?
Well, there's some people who are all about the Bing. I mean, there's only one thing that Bing has, and that's maybe like the bribery feature of shopping.
Yeah, which is cool.
Mm.
But I mean, you know, does Google really have to advertise its search at this point?
I think it kind of, in a way it kind of does, because it kind of cements itself into the, like, some people might still be like, you know, they might have taken Google for granted. It's like, hey Google, what's up? You did a commercial. David, I'll take it back. I love it.
When your brand name is a verb, like, you know that you've become, you know, you're an inseparable part of I don't want to say society, but culture, just like back in the day when you had Xerox something, you know, you Google something now, because that's just what everyone uses. It's like the industry standard of search. But I wonder if this doesn't have something to do with
China?
Them. Yes, that was where I was going.
Yeah, I think because, you know, Super Bowl ads being played in the United States affecting China – I think it is mostly just, you know, Apple trying, I mean, Google, I keep doing that today. Mm. But yeah, I think it's mostly Google trying to be like, hey, this is us. This is what we try to push as our ideas of, you know, what our service is used for. And like, I think, yeah, a little bit kind of like, you know, damage control to try to clear up any like kind of negative PR they might have had, like from people overhearing things. But, you know, it's interesting.
If they're trying to make us feel warm inside, they totally succeeded.
Another thing I thought when I saw this was Mom's Friendly Oil Shop from Futurama. Like, I'm totally like, it's like, aww, Sergey Brin, the nicest CEO in America.
Oh, I wish I could impersonate her voice, but I have it inside my head.
I know.
I hope you do too.
Anyone who hasn't seen Futurama should check it out. It is truly great with all of its science and science fiction humor. So I think this will be the end for today's episode. Tim, where can we find more of your work?
Betanews.com is where I write, and I have an Android blog called Android Bakery. And if you follow me, I am at Tim, Connelly, on Twitter.
And how do you say that beautiful name of yours?
Connelly.
Alrighty. This is Patrick Runhouse. You can find me on Twitter at PLAN8TS. That's planets. And you can also find me on the Planet Podcast. And we will have more episodes coming. Sorry again to all my viewers for being sick. Stuff happens.
Snow!
And cold, yes. I will try to brave the snowpocalypse of 2010 as we are about to get another 20 inches of snow today, supposedly. Everyone have a really good day, and thanks for watching and listening. Have a good day. Bye.